All right, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5 as we continue on in our study of this amazing passage of Scripture dealing with Paul's instructions to the church there and to all of us about how we relate in our marriages to one another. We're getting down to the end of this passage. We're now down to verse 33, and here we are where it says, "However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Little did we know how much wisdom God had supplied for us in this one verse, and how much there is to unpack out of that verse. And so I am indebted to, and many of you are as well, but I am indebted to Dr. Emerson Eggerich and his wife Sarah, but especially Emerson, who was a pastor for many, many years. And as a pastor, he would counsel husbands and wives in his office, in his ministry, and he would sense a frustration. It was easy for the ladies, for the wives, to express their frustration in that marriage. And they would express it. They say, "My husband just doesn't love me like he should. He doesn't love me like he used to. In fact, he doesn't love me anymore." And then he'd turn to the husband and say, "No, what's your problem?" And the husband would not be able to express it very well. And then Dr. Emerson came across this verse in his study, and the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, helped him to see this in a way that just unlocked for thousands and thousands and thousands of couples now across the country to this understanding of the basic needs within a husband and a wife. And they are very different because we are wired so totally different. So the basic needs for a wife is love. Basic need for a husband is respect, because we're wired differently. So I am indebted to him, and what we're going to look at today are the principles that he has unraveled out of this through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I'm giving all the credit to where credit is due. And then I got an email from Jennifer Stye, and they wished that they could be here today and hear this message. But she suggested that she has purchased the DVD of this series on love and respect. So I'd like to share with the elders, and perhaps maybe in our second hour when we're done with our present curriculum, to bring that DVD to the church family. But not everybody's going to sit through that. So I'm going to give this Sunday and next Sunday to these concepts, to these principles of love and respect in a marriage. The wisdom that Paul has given to us through the power of the Holy Spirit is literally phenomenal. And once we see this, it just seems to unlock for many couples a mystery that has been plaguing their marriage and causing them tremendous frustration. Dr. Emerson Eggerich calls it the crazy cycle. And it goes like this. The wife is frustrated because she doesn't get love in the relationship, and so as a result of that denial, because the marriage has long passed that infatuation stage and the romance stage, and now is in the nitty-gritty of life, and so now it's just kind of slugging it out together, trying to make it through life, and so there's something going on in that relationship where there's a reaction. And so she's not feeling the affection and the warmth, how she's wired and nurtured to receive it. He's not giving it to her, and so she reacts. And she reacts negatively. She reacts in a way that's typical of a mother to do, and a mother nurturing her children tends to kind of instruct and improve and correct. Now she's going to try to correct her husband. Good luck with that. Correct her husband so that he will learn how to improve himself and learn to love her the way he should love her. Well, what happens when she tries to do that is he's reacting because he is then perceiving that instruction that comes out of her heart of nurture as what? Disrespect. Disrespect. And so what happens then in this crazy cycle? He doesn't get respect, so he doesn't give love. And it is a cycle that continues into a marriage until it ends up becoming bitterness and anger to a degree that 50% of our marriages now are ending up in divorce. Here's a little test to take. There's a test. The wife usually says, he doesn't love me like I love him. It's not reciprocated. That's what she is expecting to get, and she should be getting that in a marriage. But ask the husband, when asked, does she like you? Something the wife is not even on her radar thinking this is important. What does he say? No. No. I don't feel I have her respect. I don't feel I have her admiration anymore. I feel like she is disrespecting me. So many husbands, when they get to that point, they decide internally that they can never do enough at this point to, so to speak, earn her respect, because it always keeps changing. And so he gets frustrated and says, I'm going to stop. She's put me down so many times. I've heard so many disrespectful comments that I'm not even going to try anymore. And so the nagging continues, and he decides, I'm not even going to try. But all of a sudden now that puts him in a responsibility of doing both. He's supposed to supply love to her, but in this context, in this thinking, especially when a wife says he needs to earn my respect, not only does he have to provide love to her, but he has to earn her respect so that it becomes automatic. So not only does he have to provide the love, he also has to provide the respect. And we're going to look at that and say, that's not how the Bible talks about this. Because the Bible says that love and respect need to be unconditional. And this is a very foreign concept to many wives. Unconditional respect, it's like an oxymoron. How do those two go together? You know, you have to earn respect, right? But the Bible calls husbands to love their wives unconditionally, and wives understand that. That makes perfect sense. Yeah, unconditional love, they don't deserve it, but I'm going to give it to them anyway. And the wives to respect their husbands unconditionally. There's the oxymoron. There's just something that is hard for wives to understand. But let's take a look at 1 Peter chapter 3, where Peter is instructing wives who are in difficult situations, perhaps most likely in a non-Christian home, husband's not a believer. How do you deal with that? Here's the instruction. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, most likely a non-believer, they may be won over without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Notice the word there? Respect. Wives, you are to give your husband, undeserving husband, the respect that God asks for you to do that. So men can accept loving their wives unconditionally, but women really have a much harder time understanding how they can respect their husbands unconditionally. How do they do that? Well, I've kind of starred this next sentence because I think this is so extremely important. We don't know how to read a heart. We don't know how to read what's in our mate's heart, our spouse's heart. We just don't know how to do that. We interpret things. We interpret what comes out of their mouth. But is that accurate? Is that really true? Is that how they really feel? Maybe it's learned behavior. Maybe they would say, if you asked them, no, I really don't feel that way deep down. And then you say, well, why is it coming out of your mouth? We understand all that. We can't read hearts, so we're not going to try to read hearts in our relationship. So wives, here's one way you can express what hopefully is deep down in your heart, that you truly do love your husband and you truly do respect your husband. How do we do that? How can she do this? A wife can give her husband unconditional respect by a respectful facial expression and respectful tone of voice as she communicates how she has been wounded by his lack of loving behavior. It all comes down to how it's expressed. How it's expressed? Is the wife going to communicate it in a way that's demeaning, degrading, putting him down? Or is she going to let out her true heart's intent and communicate through the Holy Spirit, giving the proper facial expression, the tone of voice that is acceptable and approving? Well, the Bible continues here. The Bible teaches that we can respect those who don't deserve our respect. We can do that. For example, in 1 Peter chapter 2, he talks about servants obeying their masters who don't deserve their respect. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. Those who don't, quote, deserve your respect, give it to them anyway. Give it to them anyway. So how does this work? Here's a letter that came from a wife to Dr. Egrich, and it shares how this kind of works out in a practical way. This gal writes to him. She says, "I have led several studies on being a godly wife and have read and hopefully applied lots of biblical marriage resources. But I knew something was still missing even in my own relationship. I could not figure out why my husband was staying somewhat aggravated with me, and I was definitely not receiving the love and affection that I so desired. Now I realize that I have been showing him disrespect without ever dreaming that was what was being communicated. I tried respect. I was amazed at the result. My husband is definitely not a sweet talker. He is an outdoorsman who hunts all over the world. That's our business. Anyway, I thought this feels kind of silly, but I said to him, 'Honey, I couldn't sleep very well last night, so I spent a lot of time thinking of all the things I respect about you,' which was true. He did not respond, but I felt a softening in the air. 2 days later, after spending all day in the duck blind with several men, he said to me, 'I missed you today. I wished you could have gone with me. I thought all day about what a sweet girl you are.' I nearly laughed out loud. He called me a sweet girl. I'm a grandmother. But oh, it is so fun to feel loved. I am now aware of so many ways that I was communicating disrespect without meaning to do it." You see, it was automatic for her. It wasn't in her heart, so to speak. It was just automatic. Perhaps learned behavior from her home and how that changed her life. Now, here's something else. Men, when men sign up for the military and they're in the armed services, they are willing to give their lives for their country, right? And they considered it an honor and a privilege to serve their country in such a fashion, to be willing to lay down their lives. Do we not respect those men for doing that? Do we not? We honor them. Well, much in the same way, every husband who's a godly husband is willing to lay down his life for his wife. Same way. If there's a dangerous situation, if there was something happening at Target or Starbucks or wherever you are, and there's a gunman coming in, you're not going to put your wife in front of you and shield you. You're going to protect her from harm, right? That's what we do as men. We're willing to lay down our lives. Cannot a woman, here's what I'm saying here, look up to and respect her husband if he is willing to die for her? It should be automatic. He's willing to do that. He is worth your honor. He is worth your respect if that's his daily attitude about how he loves you. You need to give him that respect. Now, ladies, please think about this. Nothing wounds a man more than sarcastic words of contempt. Highlight the word sarcasm. Sarcasm can be tinged with such cynicism and such degrading meaning behind it. It just wounds so deep inside, like a knife that is touching the raw nerve of a man's spirit, trying to kill that spirit. That's what sarcasm does. when it's used in that way. So nothing wounds a man more than sarcastic words of contempt. Look what happened in Esther chapter 1, verses 17 through 18. Here we have the story of Hadassah, Queen Esther. Hadassah, her Jewish name, Esther, her Persian name, but before Esther was the previous queen. And here we're talking about the queen's behavior. For the queen's behavior will be made known to all women, it says, because she refused to come when her husband asked her to come. And so she was exercising there some contempt for his authority. And that's the response. Here's the response of the men. For the queen's behavior would be known to all women. This is the advisors are telling the king, causing them to look at their husbands with contempt. This is what's going to happen. And we can't handle this. Since they will say, King Ahasuerus commanded Queen Vashti to be brought before him, and she did not come. This very day, the noble women of Persia and Media who have heard of the queen's behavior will say the same to all the king's officials, and there will be now, as a result, contempt and wrath in plenty. You see that? Why do they get so upset? Because this is something that's so striking to a man's wired nature of trying to be a man who deserves and needs the respect. They did something drastic. And nothing starts the crazy cycle better than a scolding wife. A wife who decides that, well, this is my job to raise children and to nurture them and to correct them. And when I see them doing wrong, it's my obligation to improve them and to instruct them. And so I'm going to do that. And all of a sudden she just figures, well, if it works for children, it should work for my husband, and begins to treat her husband in the same way she treats her children. That's disastrous. Horribly, horribly disastrous. That scolding is going to trigger this, what Dr. Eggerichs calls the crazy cycle all over again. And this attitude of being treated like a child when the man says, no, I am a man. Sarah Eggerichs asked this question to women who come to their seminars. A woman came and said, I hear what you're saying. Here's been my behavior. He won't change, and so I kind of nag and I scold and I do all of these things, and but he still won't change. He's not responding, and so she described her behavior. And Sarah asked her this question. She said, if your son married a woman like you, how would you feel? Wow. And the woman and the women who come to her are amazed, because this particular woman responded and she said, I've never thought of it that way before. I would never want my son to marry a woman like me. His spirit would be crushed. And I don't want that to happen in his life. She didn't see it. She was blind to her own behavior and was unable to see what she was doing to her husband. We're going to talk about that in the application here in just a minute. How we are blind to what we are doing because we have done these things so many times, perhaps learned it in our own homes growing up, that we are totally oblivious to how we are responding to one another. But look at this other point. Wives are not commanded in Scripture to love. And that love we're talking about is agape love. The passage in the Scripture in verse 33, husbands, agape your wives, which is the highest form of love, as you know. It's the unconditional love that God puts upon us. He's loved us anyway, despite our behavior. So it's agape love. But wives are not commanded to do that to their husbands, because they are already wired by God, by their nature, to agape them. This is naturally a part of who they are. But men are not so wired. See this in Titus 2:4. Older women are told to train the young women to love, but it's not agape there. It's phileo there. And that change of wording means everything. It's a huge difference. The phileo love is more of a friendship, a brotherly kind of love, a supportive love, an encouragement love, something that women, in this case, are not wired to do. And so there's a difference there between that. So let's talk a little bit about application as we kind of bring this to a close and bring it to a head. And I've decided that I could just get started this week. I'm going to extend it one more week with some more specific instruction. And again, I credit all this to Dr. Eggerich. It's amazing what he has uncovered here. And then hopefully we'll be able to do the whole series as we look at that DVD series and consider it for a second hour. But let's talk about specific application. Application number one, I want wives this week to ask your husband, do you want me to tell you that I love you or that I respect you? Which one would you prefer? Okay? Simple exercise, nothing to it. Just ask that question. 85% of the men who are asked that question would say to their spouses, I would rather you say to me, I respect you. I respect, because that's how a man is wired. Secondly, I think we need to change our thinking, and we need to work on meditation. We need to get in our minds a new way of thinking. So I'm asking to realize, just absorb this in your heart, absorb this in your mind. Realize that men are commanded to love because they do not do it naturally. And women are commanded to respect because they do not do it naturally. So this is a whole change in the way we think. And we need it into our hearts, from our head to our hearts. And finally, third, accept the fact that you are often blind to what you are doing. Four, and put this in caps, we easily see what is being done to us before we see what we are doing to our mate. Patty and I are no experts in this. We've learned from all of these marvelous truths. And I know in the past you would use that dagger of sarcasm in my life in order to jab me right in my spirit. She's since outgrown that or learned to not do that anymore because it destroys our relationship. And I just praise the Lord for the growth that I've seen in her life and my understanding of what's going on in that dynamic when we are in that crazy cycle. So we don't go there anymore. As soon as it starts, we say, whoops, it's time to get out of this mess and learn from God what He wants us to know about how to treat one another. So I praise the Lord, but yet I admit, here's what's happened in our own lives. This is true of us. This has been true in our past and occasionally crops up again on a rare occasion. But thank God we know now what to do to make that stop. So I'm going to spend one more week on this, and because I knew I'd run out of time, again, all credit goes to Dr. Eggerich and his wife, but more importantly, the credit goes to the Holy Spirit, who really has helped him to understand this connection between respect and love that seemed to be so hidden from our church culture for many, many years, and finally now has risen to a place where we can understand these are the ways God has wired us as husbands and wives. Terry, come on up. Terry, come and grab a microphone up here and ask the Lord to apply these passages to our heart and life. Terry knew I was going to ask him to do this. He just didn't know when I was going to ask him to do this. But close our time in prayer. Please stand with us, would you please?